Welcome to the Emmaus Bible Hour. This is a program for you and your family. A time to open the Bible and see what God has to say to us through His Word. Life magazine, some years ago, printed a picture of the contents of the pockets of a soldier killed in action. Included were a sewing kit, snapshots of a girl named Alice, and a small notebook in which the youth had written down some comments on the state of the world. He concluded with these words, "People don't talk about religion nowadays, but we need a voice from on high, brother, and I don't mean maybe. I'm no religious fanatic, but we are in a spot where something better than human brains has got to give us advice." Those lines penned by a soldier and then found among his belongings after his death. We agree. There surely is a need for a voice from on high, for something better than human brains can come up with. We're glad that God has spoken. He's written a book for us, and that book is the Bible. There's one epistle that answers many of the questions people ask. It's the one that we're studying together these days. Paul's letter to the Romans. Just before we take up lesson 4, may we remind you that much of the material that we're giving on this broadcast is also available in book form. Write to us if you're interested. Our address will be given near the end of this 15-minute program. Now lesson 4, page 1 of that lesson. In our last time together, we learned what it means to be justified. Let's review that definition. Justification is the act by which God counts a sinner as absolutely fit for heaven the moment that sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's repeat that. Justification is the act by which God counts a sinner as absolutely fit for heaven the moment that sinner believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans, we see God giving answers through the Apostle Paul to questions that are frequently raised. For instance, here in Romans chapter 4, we see the answer to the question, does the gospel agree with the Old Testament? Paul has already stated twice that it does. Now he's going to prove it. In doing so, he uses the examples of two men, Abraham, who lived centuries before the law was given, and David, who lived many years afterwards. First, the example of Abraham. How was Abraham justified? If it were by works, then he could boast before God, but this is impossible. No creature can ever boast before the Creator. The Old Testament clearly tells how Abraham was saved. Let's look at Romans 4, verse 3, and this is a quote from Genesis. For what does the Scripture say? And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Romans 4:3, a very important verse. Abraham was reckoned righteous by believing God. When we use the word reckon, we mean to consider, regard, or account. So God accounted Abraham righteous because Abraham believed. Thus God justifies the ungodly, not by works, but by grace through faith. Grace is the basis on which God gives salvation. Faith is the means by which man receives it. Now, let me read Romans 4, verses 5 and 6. And I'm going to use the paraphrase included with these lessons. We've not mentioned this before, but a very fine paraphrase is included with the text. Let's look then at Romans 4, verses 5 and 6. And I'm reading from the paraphrase. Now, if a man works for a reward, he earns it and can take personal pride in it. He deserves it. But the man whom God sees as righteous is the man who does not try to work for his justification, but simply believes on God who justifies ungodly sinners. Romans 4, verses 5 and 6. Let's pause right here and think about those verses. Look them up in your Bible and begin to meditate on them. We have before us here a tremendous truth. Romans 4, verses 5 and 6. listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour. We're studying the Epistle to the Romans, and we're finding treasure here. We're glad that you're studying with us. We hope you'll make it a habit. Remember, we have this correspondence course that covers much of the material used on this broadcast available. Write to us for information. Our address is given at the close of the program. We've looked at the example of Abraham and justification. Now let's look at David. What was David's experience? David speaks of the blessedness of the man whom God pronounces righteous, not by law-giving, but simply by grace. He said, for instance, "Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." This refers to a pardoned sinner, not an upright law-keeper. David also said, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Both of these are quotes from Psalm 32 in the Old Testament. Notice in both of these quotes, there is no mention of man's efforts. It is all of God's grace. But doesn't the Old Testament teach that circumcision was necessary for salvation? The answer is no. Abraham was justified before he was circumcised. He received circumcision later as an outward sign of the righteousness which he had obtained by faith in God. Thus he became the father of all true believers. However, someone asks, but isn't law-keeping connected in any way with justification? The answer from here in Romans is simply not at all. Justification is by grace and not by law. When God made his promise to Abraham that he would be heir of the world through Christ, it wasn't on the basis of law. In other words, there were no conditions attached. It was not dependent on any works on Abraham's part. It was simply a promise from God that he would do it. Indeed, if the promise depended on keeping the law, then faith would be unnecessary and the promise would be worthless because no one could meet the terms. All the law can do is condemn those who fail to keep it. Thus, God has decreed that salvation should be by grace, through faith. This is the only way the promise of eternal life might be sure. If good works were necessary, we could never be sure we had enough or the right kind. If man was required to do anything to be saved, there would always be some who could not meet the conditions. Belief in Christ is the only thing of which every person is capable, without at the same time achieving any personal merit. Coming back to Abraham in Romans 4, we find that Abraham's case proves conclusively that justification is by faith. God promised Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. He told him that he would have descendants as numerous as the stars. Humanly speaking, this was impossible. Abraham himself was about 100 years old. His wife was too old to bear children. Up until then, they did not have any family. Yet God had made the promise. And so Abraham dared to believe, knowing that God could perform the impossible. Faith, mighty faith, the promise sees and looks to God alone, laughs at impossibilities and cries, "It shall be done." Romans 4:22, speaking of Abraham, "Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness." Romans 4, verse 22. Abraham's history is recorded here in Romans 4 as a lesson to us. He was not the only instance of where righteousness was imputed or reckoned to a man by faith. God will do the same for you if your faith is in him, the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. He has promised eternal life to those who receive Christ by faith. Just as Christ was delivered to die on the cross because of our sins, so God raised him from the dead in order that we might be justified through him. His resurrection is a proof that God is satisfied with his work on Calvary. C.H. Spurgeon said of man, "He is like a silkworm. By nature he is a spinner and a weaver. God has made for him a robe of righteousness, but man will not have it. He insists on spinning a robe of righteousness for himself. He spins and spins and spins, but like the silkworm, he only spins himself a shroud. What will it be, my friend, for you? God's robe of righteousness, or the one you will spin for yourself? Abraham, David, and a host of others have down through the years by faith accepted God's robe of righteousness. We must close. Write to us this week if you have questions. We want to help you. Those of you doing the lessons at home should now do the exams on Lesson 3 and Lesson 4 and mail them to the address indicated. You have been listening to the Emmaus Bible Hour.